All I know is that y'all need to watch your ears. No. No. Oh, fuck. No. I didn't mean to do that. I warned you to watch your ears. I gave you a fair warning. Watch your ears. So don't get mad at me. But I didn't mean to play that one. But since I did, I might as well give you a fucking Only Naz. It's it. That's it. This is Only Naz right now, I guess, because I accidentally made it so. What can I do? I'm watching AEW and Sting did that famous thing where he wears a mask and he took off the mask and it's Sting underneath the Sting mask. Classic. Shit. Thank you guys for being here. Yesterday I streamed very, 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 very freaking late. I was trying out my new mixer. And I had still issues with it. But I played Sonic the Hedgehog 2. And I finished Sonic the Hedgehog 2 in what people are calling the greatest speedrun, no death gameplay they've ever seen. It was fantastic. So you had to have been there. Is Sting jumping off the fucking thing again? This man is too old to be doing crazy shit like this. No dev 100% glitchless speedrun. Yes. 100%. It was a perfect, you had to have been there. And if you're a subscriber, you can watch it on the freaking video on demand. What was I gonna get to? Right, the mixer that we obtained for $7. And it works, but I feel like I need some other components to probably not have the staticky sound come out of it. I'm hoping that with this, I can actually do a podcast show with people. The podcasting I had was very convenient, very small, very, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Mobile? Like, I can take it anywhere. And on the first day, it messed up. I contacted people to get it, you know, to send it, and they could bring me another one because it's bullshit. And I think in the process of sending it, it must have got lost. I don't think I packaged it good enough. Maybe the address was all wrong or faded out or whatever. I don't know. So basically, I'm saying that that was money down the drain. But this came up, this little mixer right here. And now I want to try to make the best out of this. And hopefully something better came out of something that wasn't very fortunate. But I feel like I'm missing some stuff to probably make it right. I never mess with a mixer. This was more of my brother's department. Because he messed with music growing up. I saw his equipment. He has some good equipment back then. And this is the 90s, you know. So imagine around now. So he would really know how to mess with this. But I would learn because it's simple shit, really. It's all knobs and what up. So yeah, I'm waiting for that to come up. And then next weekend? Not this weekend coming up. This weekend is packed. Friday, I'm going to freelance wrestling. And then Saturday, we gotta go to a wedding. So I'm booked. But the following weekend, Randy and I are planning to do another live stream. So hopefully that'll happen. And we'll see you guys there and have some more fun. And hopefully this will work. If this works, then he and I can both have mics. It'll be a practice run. Call my brother for help. Over the phone, it won't be much help. It won't be. But no, you know how they said men don't ask for directions or look at manuals? Yeah, it's pretty much me. I'm gonna figure this out unless I can't. And if I can't, I just YouTube it. Somebody YouTube. There's always some video on YouTube of somebody helping you out with whatever problem you got. And it'll be like, you'll think, nah, there's no way no one's talking about this. You look it up, bam, next thing you know, they're talking about it like crazy. Portable, thank you, Manny. That's what I meant to say earlier. It was a very portable freaking device. I'm so mad that it messed up on the first day. It's bullshit. You wish you were traveling to Virginia. Shadow Hunter said he wished he was traveling to Virginia for vacation. I wish I was just on vacation. So, The Extreme here brings up about the Streets of Rage movie. And how it was announced that they're making Streets of Rage. Now, for those that don't know, you know, because who knows who listens to my only Naz. They're probably newbies who don't even know. But I know it's just like the eight of you guys here. Well, not really. You won't re-listen to this. You're watching it right now, live. Streets of Rage is a beat-em-up Sega Genesis game that Sega made to go against Nintendo's Final Fight. And beat-em-up game is just a side-scrolling game where you do exactly as it says, beat them up. You're just going around beating up, fighting henchmen and bosses and whatnot. It's one of my all-time favorite games in the Sega brand. I was a Sega kid till I die. And I played Streets of Rage 2 so many times. Streets of Rage 4 was probably my favorite game of that year that got released. So what was that? The pandemic year, I think, 2020? Three former cops take to the streets and fight a syndicate. Yeah, that's correct. And that's easily something that could easily be transferred into a movie. And I always believed that, you know, and this is like since a kid, I always believed that this thing could be adapted into a movie, even a series. So years ago when Sega decided, hey, we're going to have a movie production and make our titles into movies, my first thought was, okay, Streets of Rage got to happen. Sonic was, of course, you know, that's their like mascot, and they made that, and it became a huge success. They made Sonic 2, and that came out recently, and that became even a bigger success. So now they have like, okay, we got something here, let's go. And if you watch those movies, they have a Sega intro, and in the Sega intro, they show all the properties they have in it, and this is all the stuff that they want to do. Streets of Rage has now been, you know, mentioned and confirmed to begin the process of being made into a movie, and they got the writer of the John Wick, at least the first one or whatever. Now, if they could get that and then get, like, the director of John Wick, either the one that's currently still directing them or David Lynch. Not David Lynch. I think it's David Lynch, I think. If they could get him, who went off to direct Deadpool and... No, not Deadpool. Deadpool 2. And some other movies all made by that studio that behind John Wick. Then it potentially could really, really, really work out. I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see anything about it. But I truly... Well, because of what they did with Sonic, I have hope that they'll go ahead and do this franchise very, very well. So, casting is not really a challenge if you do it right. And I know most people are looking for like known names. I never look for known names in a fresh title. I want new people. And we're in an era where you could teach any actor how to fight. And that was evident since The Matrix. They taught Keanu Reeves and Lawrence Fishburne and Carrie-Anne Moss and Hugo Weaving to fight martial arts. So, and that studio that's behind John Wick continued to do that. You know, they made badasses out of everybody. Get that. Get whoever you feel fits the casting and just do it right. The only person I see as should be a star power to try to like get people to be like, oh, is Mr. X. And quite frankly, Mr. X can be anybody. I don't give a shit who, as long as it's not like Mr. X has much of a personality that we know about, other than he's a guy who's the boss, got long hair and a fucking Tommy gun at the end and starts blasting everybody. That's pretty much it. Now, Streets of Rage 1 and 2 can be easily adapted. Streets of Rage gets a little bit too crazy as it keeps going. So, I'm okay if there's no robots added. I'm okay if none of that crazy shit happens. But if it does, I hope they do it well. You just gotta get the main point of the story. Someone mentioned Comic Zone, and I'm like, let's go. Give me a Comic Zone fucking movie. That would be fantastic. Look. Someone here, The Extreme, mentioning that Altered Beast should be an anime. I never aim for anything to be an anime. Other than maybe, I think Shenmue being an anime is perfect. Kingdom Hearts, I feel, should be an anime because the story is so wide. The lore is so fucking huge and it's so confusing all over the place that an anime would fit perfectly. But I always want something live action. That's how I am. I always want something live action because something brought to life is crazier than something brought to animation. Unless it's a manga, then manga brought to animation is like, hey, this is way better. Yeah, sorry, I just took a moment to look. Golden Axe is easy plot to follow as well. Kid who plays Kenny for Cobra Kai in season 4 should play Skate. I don't remember who Kenny is. I didn't watch season 4, but Skate is, by the time that happens, he'll be too old. So it's not going to happen. Because remember, if they do the movie, I just want Streets of Rage. I don't want Streets of Rage 2. I want Streets of Rage 2 when Streets of Rage 2 happens. You understand what I'm saying? I just want Streets of Rage. Axel. Blaze. Adam. That's it. Those three people going to get Mr. X in the Syndicate. That's all I need. Then Streets of Rage 2, you follow the same, the plot's there, you follow it, you get Adam is held hostage, you bring in Skate, Sammy, and so forth and so forth. You follow that, and you should be good. It's not that difficult. You can go and mix shit up, like how Sonic the Hedgehog 2 mixed up pretty much Sonic 2 and 3. And I'm fine with that because they did it so fucking well. Doesn't matter. As long as the people know the source and stay true to source, or at least honor the source, then we're good. I have to say stuff like that because Street Fighter movie and Mario Brothers movie, Street Fighter movie is a little bit more closer to Street Fighter than the Mario Brothers movie is to Mario Brothers, but I love them both. And then there's the mask, you know, with Jim Carrey. It's not like the comic book mask. I mean, I didn't know that. I don't know if you knew that back when we were kids watching it. But according to people who even fans of the mask, I think they love how the mask was made and adapted. So it's all about doing it well. It's all about doing it and doing it and doing it well. She represents Queens. So that's how I gotta say it. If it's modernized skate, unfortunately, it would be a skateboarder. That's fine. I have no problems with that. I'm not gonna cry because Sammy is made into a skateboarder instead of rollerblades. Don't care. Sure, I like to have him in rollerblades, but or maybe they'll do it. Or, as I thought about this too, they keep it a timepiece and they keep it in the 90s. You know? So it stays in that time period or whatever. Then again, I don't care. I just want to see it happen. I want it to be a very well done martial arts movie. Really good fights. Gritty, maybe. Because if it's the people with John Wick, you got to have it. Like, you got to have some crazy. And you got the guy who made this world of John Wick is pretty much a comic book video game. Pretty much it. And the fights get crazier and crazier and crazier as it keeps going. And the lore and the mythology and all this shit and that world is just so out there, so outside the box. And we love it. And it's just fun. If you make a movie that's just fun, then you accept it for being just fun. And that's why I love Robert Rodriguez, because his movies are just fun. And the same goes for Quentin Tarantino, though his movies feel like they're trying to be serious or whatever, but they're still like tongue-in-cheek or like, we know we're a movie, let's just have fun, especially like the Kill Bill ones. I can go very, very in-depth about movies and shit like that. Eternal Champions could work. Eternal Champions will be a time, not time period, but it will be like Eternal Champion consists of fighters from all over time, so it's like a time travel kind of movie, I guess, if that works. Let's see, The Extreme. If you could have any video game, get a film at it. I want Quentin Tarantino presents Wet. I see that. Well, talk to Sony. Sony PlayStation is really hard. Really trying hard to make movies out of their franchise. I didn't see Uncharted. I heard it was good. I didn't see it, though. I'm waiting to see it at home. So. Yeah. And that's my two cents on the Streets of Rage. Movie. That's my two cents about that. I've been listening to nothing but Linkin Park today, and that made me want to watch the Transformers movies. I almost didn't do this right now because I was like, I just feel like chilling and watching a movie. Don't do that much. I want to do it more often. Sometimes I think about like a whole week, just like I'm just gonna come home and just watch movies till I have to sleep. Think about that. A lot. Because sometimes you just want to relax. Relax, kick back. You know? Two Sabbaths. Haven't seen Transformers in a minute. Neither have I. Last Transformer I saw was the last Transformer they made. I acquired all the Transformers digitally. Don't have a physical copy of them. That's a long story. And, yeah. I don't know. Something about the first one, man. First one was dope. Third one is dope. First and third. And Bumblebee. If I had to rate them. Those are the shit. Second one's alright. Not that great. Like, I'll watch it. I'll be entertained by it. But then I'll be like, eh. And then the ones after the third one, I don't remember much other than Mark Wahlberg. Long. It's all over the place. And Optimus Prime. That's all I remember. Jopium, still haven't seen Bumblebee. Bumblebee is probably one of the best ones. Bumblebee was... When Bumblebee came out, it was like a fresh breath air because you saw Transformers as they were supposed to be seen. And it was supposed to be like... It was a prequel, but also like a reboot of the franchise. And then we haven't seen anything since then. So, I don't know what's going on. But there's still talks of like Transformers... Transformer movies being made somewhere down the line. Around there. I don't know. The first one was major for me. I remember watching Transformers and just like getting emotional when Optimus Prime showed up and started talking. And then I remember going to the movies. I went to the cinema so many times to watch Transformers. And that's when there was like, I think it was damn near, maybe one time I watched it like three times in a week. I could be wrong. I know every week I'll go see it on like the cheapest day. There was a $5 day. It was like $5 Tuesdays. And I'll go see it. I think I just went like the early show the most one week or something. It was dope. It was dope for me. It was dope. I remember people complaining of the design, but I fell in love with the movie. It was dope for me. It was dope for me. Hold on, I gotta catch up with this. Did you hear this rumor that there's a leaked end credits for the Dragon Ball superhero movie and it shows Raditz? Any thoughts? None. I wanna see. I wanna see what happened. I have no thoughts on that. Raditz is supposed to be dead. But then it's Dragon Ball, everybody comes back. The stream said, I'm in the middle of finally seeing Mandalorian. Fucking about time. It just makes me wish we had a console version of Knights of the Old Republic or just basically Star Wars Online. I think there is a console version of... Oh, you're talking about the PC one? Yeah, no, that's not gonna happen. I got it, though, on the PC. Never played. Starscream movie? Get out of here. First movie was so dope for me because I was living in Detroit. Ooh. And that's why I like Dark of the Moon because it was filmed in Chicago. And it was a big deal. And I remember seeing Bumblebee and... Fuck, there were two cars. It was Bumblebee or it was just Bumblebee. I forgot. All I remember is Wabash. And it's a scene in the movie where they basically... I think this is basically where Sam Witwicky takes out Starscream. Or they fought and then Starscream like flew away. It's like in the parking lot kind of shit, you know? There's a parking lot, but then there's a parking lot, you know? Like, there's a level parking lot, then there's a parking lot on the ground. So anyway, they were fighting there, and then they bounce, and they all, like, Sam Witwicky, Bumblebee, the soldiers, they run out and drive down the street. Basically, that's what they shot. But it was that scene. I remember we're there, and the people were more starstruck by the cars than the actual actors. Well, bullshit. The girls were starstruck for fucking, you know, Shia LaBeouf, but everybody was really going crazy for the cars, and the cars were all covered because they didn't want people just surrounding the cars. So I was able to see them shoot a scene because, you know, it's probably like, it probably was a shot that they didn't even use, but they'll use like, they do multiple shots. And you saw it, and you saw like Bumblebee drive out, whatever, and everybody's like, ah! I was like, look, everybody's here just tripping for the cars, really. They don't give a shit about the people. And it's true, we didn't give a shit about the people. It's about the cars. That's all we cared about. It's about the cars. Yeah, it was dope. I like that shit, you know, when stuff's filmed in my city, I take pride in that. It's amazing how much shit is filmed here in Chicago. I feel like we don't get enough shit shot here, but we have a lot of stuff shot here. Because it always feels like the same thing, you know. New York, L.A. Always feel like the same shit. Florida. But Chicago doesn't feel so much used. And I love how Chicago is like the template for Batman. You know, it's Gotham City ever since Christopher Nolan. It's like Chicago's Gotham City. For Gotham and Metropolis, because they always use like multiple cities to shoot. They shoot a lot in Atlanta too now, yeah. They use multiple cities to make it, and they use a lot of shots for Gotham City here in Chicago. It's like in the TV show too, in Batwoman, and it's like Chicago. It's like, what the fuck? That's Chicago. Huh? Quit playing! We do got the 80s movies on lock. Matter of fact, there's one. I know when you think Chicago and 80s movies, you think Blues Brothers, right? It's the king. It's the king of Chicago movies. It's just it's our like fucking it's our fucking template of a Chicago movie. Like if you think about you think Child's Play? Fair. Child's Play is good too. But I think the fucking the Blues Brothers, because it shows so much. And they're a mascot of ours. There's a famous statues. There's a famous Blues Brothers statue here in Chicago that you can see at O'Hare Airport. But there's also this barbershop that has it. And they have it outside their barbershop every time they're open. Let's see. See if I can show it to you. This is actually it right here. It's a very small version of it. I want the small version. That's not the barbershop, is it? Nah, that's not the barbershop. No, that's not the barbershop. But this is the statue. I'm gonna show it to you right now. Hold on a minute. For those that are just watching this shit, I mean listening to this shit, you're not gonna see it. I'm sorry. But for those that are actually watching this on what the fuck are you watching this at again? My YouTube, I'm very bad right now. Why is this damn screen so small? Jeez Louise. Anyways, let me not have this music pop up and fuck it all up for you guys. And then you're all like, oh, I'm deaf. Anyways, there you go. So this right here. Shit, I can't even zoom in. These are the statues. And they have the statue in. I don't know if this is like the exact one. It doesn't look like the exact one. I think there's probably a better one. But they're basically in this pose. And they have that at O'Hare. And there's this barbershop that has it. That's all I know. I know it's a barbershop. God damn. Is it better images? These I never seen before in my life. Is this right here? Is this in Kansas? Well, they're in that pose. They're in this pose right here. I don't think these are exact post fucking shit, but yeah, so that's the iconic statues. This is the life size. This is exactly how it is. And the barbershop will put like the mask on it when we had to do the mandates and whatnot. It's pretty cool. So it's a fucking, you know, it's iconic. It's Chicago. It defines Chicago. And I think for the most part, like the beginning of the movie is Chicago, and then the finale of the movie, which to this day, I have to say, it is one of the coolest cinematic car chase scene to ever happen. And I don't think you can give me, look, this is no diss on it because I love the franchise, but you could give me all of the chases and outrageous shit in the Fast and the Furious. And I love it, and they fucking great, and they get crazier and crazier, and it's fucking amazing to me. But they will not they will not equal that fucking car chase scene in the Blues Brothers. No one has come close to it. And it's just perfect. It's just the perfect fucking car chase scene to have ever been shot cinematically. It's beautiful. They went crazy. And I think the magic of it is how well and how crazy it was made at that time. You had fucking cars flying and stacking up on each other. Police cars fucked up left and right. That was more impressive back then than it is now. Because it's like, you see it all the time. I don't even, look, to tell you the truth, now that I think about it, I don't know if something of that caliber was ever even obtained before the Blues Brothers was made. I don't know. I know there's been great car chases, like, what is it, Bullets, I think, was that one car, one movie made. They always mention that one had a great car chase scene and whatnot. But I don't think anything matched the caliber of what the Blues Brothers did at that time. Yeah, I don't think so. So, yeah, nothing comes close. Nothing comes close. You can go all crazy, all out. But I don't think anything comes close to that Blues Brothers chase scene at the end of the movie. It's just pure magic. Pure cinematic magic. And there's this, it's funny because I just mentioned it today because I drove by it. There was this iconic car on a spike. There it is. There's this. Let me show you right here. Cause this is you won't see this shit anymore. This right here, the cars on the spike, was in the movie The Blues Brothers. And this was an attraction. You know, this was a big thing. It was at a point, a landmark, you know, or so I believe. It's in Berwyn, Illinois, which is just south of here. And still Chicago. I don't know, you know, it's still Chicago. Just consider another town or whatever. And did they have the information here? They took this down. It's called the Spindle. They took this down in 2008. Yeah. So right here on May 2nd, 2008, they took this down. And I think people were petitioning for it to not be taken down. They took the piece of shit down. And do you want to know what they put there in its place? I believe. Because I know the spot. I know the spot. And I believe in its place is now a McDonald's. They took this iconic, featured in an iconic movie, that could have been still a fucking tourist attraction. They took this down and they put a fucking McDonald's. It's sad. It's sad. Now this is just something that we get to see in pictures and shown in the car chase scene in Blues Brothers, and I'm pretty sure it was shown in other stuff. It's just sad, you know? You want something to stay there forever, and it's not, but, you know, a picture shows it. And you guys seen it. You probably never saw it now until today, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a spike with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 cars on it. Why? I don't know. But it's a fucking achievement. It's freaking beautiful. It was dope. I took it out. The car kebab, as they called it. What can you do, man? What can you do? Corporate America always wins. Oh, look at this. This is a nice little list right here, Spendog. Blues Brothers, Home Alone, Trains, Planes, Weird Science, Adventures of Babysitting, The Breakfast Club. It's true. Like, when I think about it, like, yeah, we have a lot of good movies based in Chicago. So, yeah, maybe it's not so bad. But I always love to see more and more. It's dope. Let's see here. D Extreme talking about wrestling. News just dropped that the AEW crowd in Pittsburgh tonight was told to make specific chance after the show to record for the upcoming video game AEW Fight Forever. This game needs to come out. Until I see anything, I don't give a shit right now. It's fucking WWE 2K22 has been fantastic. So right now, that is the wrestling game. I don't know. AEW got to step the game up because that game just pretty much knocking it out the park right now. And you could play as, I mean, people make AEW people, so you could just basically be fucking AEW people. Even the ring and everything, it's crazy. Agree or disagree with Booker T, any big names who sign with AEW but then end up on Dark is a complete demotion. AEW has a lot of talent. And yes, many of the ones that go over there just put to the sidelines because they just have so much. And Tony Khan doesn't want to. I don't know. It is what it is. You don't remember that part in Blues Brothers? What, the spike? It shows up. I don't think the car is like, it just shows up in the movie. So, you know, people remember it from the movie. They probably drove by it or something. Oh, Wayne's World. Wayne's World is also a Chicago movie. Granted, they're in Aurora, but a lot of scenes are shot in Chicago because they go to Chicago. Did they at least build a cool looking McDonald's? It's a McDonald's. It's fine. It's good. Every McDonald's here has been, every McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's have all been, you know, remodeled for the times and shit like that. So, yes, it looks cool. It's a good area, too. It's a nice strip mall now. Like, compared to what it looks there, it's a beautiful strip mall. We were just down, well, we weren't down. We were down there in the area. But I did drive by, and it's a good section. It's in a good area. But if you go a little, like, a mile or two that way, you're in a really hood-ass area. I hate driving through the ghetto. Wasn't Ferris Bueller filmed in Chicago? Yes, Ferris Bueller was also filmed in Chicago. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, at the final part when he's in the freaking float and he's singing, you know, shake it up, baby, now, and all that shit. That whole thing is shot in downtown. And it's not State, is it? I think it's State Street. This is Michigan. No, State. Monroe. So Monroe? Think. Anyways, so it's shot, a big portion of it is shot in front of what is now the Chase Building. Back then it was the First National Bank of Chicago building or whatever. My mom worked in that building. So I hanged out outside that building a lot, especially when I went to college. And I'll meet up with my mom. We'll have, like, lunch there. So, in the scene, I guess I should just try to pull it up, right? In the scene in Ferris Bueller, there's this part where these people are dancing down some steps. I don't know if you guys remember that. Those steps is the freaking, is the Chase Building. Hold on, I'm gonna pop it up right here. Oh, I probably can't. You know what? I probably can't even show you this because YouTube. Yeah, I'll just take a freeze frame. So I don't get fucking attacked. Piece of shit. Hold on, they right here. Ah, come on. Go back. We got this. Alright, so. This little thing right here. This shot right here. This is the stairs of the Chase building. Because the Chase building, first of all, is like, it goes like this. So it's built in a curve, and then it goes straight up. So if you're standing right underneath and just looking up, it's trippy because it looks like it's tilting, and it looks like it's going to fall over to you. But it's just because it's built like that in an angle and then goes straight up. And this section is right outside of it. They hooked that place up now. So I know like around there on the side here in this building, there's like stores and whatnot you could go to. But you chill down here, and there's a fountain there. There's actually over here now is a McDonald's. There's a fucking outside McDonald's there, man. McDonald's taking over. I'm gonna go to every location. Like, all right, here in this movie location, yeah, this blah blah blah. Now there's a McDonald's. But it's a really beautiful fucking area. You get to chill there. There's a freaking fountain. There's a little garden. It's a really good chill spot. When I go downtown in the summer, that's a spot I like to just always go to and just hang out. There's so many memories there, good and bad. But you know what? I don't let the bad outweigh the good. Because at the end of the day, everything happens for a reason. And these bad memories, or not bad memories, but sadder memories, make us who we are. You know what I'm saying? Make us who we are. And there's nothing we can do about it. You know, whatever we've been through had to happen for us to be who we are today. And I'm gonna keep saying that to myself, so I don't feel like it was a waste of time. So yeah, but yeah, Ferris Bueller's Day Off right there, shot where my mom worked. She even mentioned about it, like, I think she was working there around that time. So yeah, pretty cool. My mom should have showed up right there in the dancing. Yeah, man, we got a lot of good stuff. We got a lot of good movies in Chicago. Oh, why am I tripping? Classic, iconic movies. You know? Don't give in to McDonald's. McDonald's took over, man. For the 99-2000. Jopium, they did announce the Forbidden Door here in Chicago. You know, that's the one thing I love about AEW, though. Tony Khan is a Chicago dude, so he does big events here in Chicago, so we get it. I've never been to All Out because it's like their WrestleMania and everybody from everywhere goes to it, so it gets sold out crazy. I am afraid of what is gonna be like to try to obtain tickets to this New Japan Pro Wrestling AEW Forbidden Door pay-per-view here at the United Center, which is a fucking great venue, and that's where I went when CM Punk returned. I want to be there for this event, of course, and it's not just because New Japan and AEW are fucking, you know, doing a show together. It's because of where it's at, because it's the United Center. That makes it a really big event. The United Center is a beautiful fucking venue. It's a beautiful arena. That's why I didn't care about New Japan Windy City Riot that just happened last weekend. Because I was like, I didn't like the venue they were at. I went there before for an ROH show. It's not all that. It's not an all that venue. I bet if I had went, I would have had fun. Though granted, when I watched it, wasn't into it until like maybe towards the end, like the John Moxley Ospreay match was the shit. But I'm really excited for this, and I hope I can get tickets to go and be there at this Forbidden Door, because the United Center is like our Madison Square Garden. It's a beautiful venue. It's great, but it's always taken up by like the Chicago Bulls and the Blackhawks and such. So for Tony Khan to be able to get a date and the venue is a big deal. And it's a place that years ago, before AEW and all that shit, I wish the WWE went to. And they did one time, and it was just a house show. So it wasn't anything on TV. It was not a Raw. It was not a SmackDown. It was not a pay-per-view. They did a house show there. And that's when I went, and I realized, like, yo, this place is fucking great, because the seatings are great. The whole venue is great. The Allstate Arena, not so great. The seatings suck in the Allstate Arena. Swear to God, it sucks. So cramped. Fucking people's heads covering your vision. It's bad. United Center, fantastic. The Wintrust Arena, which I never been to before AEW, fantastic. This guy's picking really good spots. Not bullshit Allstate Arena. Sorry, Allstate Arena. I had fun there. I'll probably try to go there for Hell in a Cell. I ain't gonna lie. Because now that Cody Rhodes in the picture, I want to go over there. Now I'm talking about wrestling. I don't know how many people here actually listen to me and listen about wrestling. This is only Naz. I'm supposed to be talking about my own self, you know? I'm supposed to talk about my life and what I've been through. You know what I'm saying? I had this little device. I don't got it with me. It's over there, actually, in my book bag. It's a speaker, right? Connected to a mic. A little overhead mic. And I took it to work, and I turned that speaker on. It's right here on the side. Just a speaker on the side. On my hip. And I just started talking. And everybody's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to use this all day. And that's the fun I had today. So I was working using this mic, and everyone's like, what the hell? And laughing and shit. I was just being loud as hell. It was fantastic. And stuff like that is what I do to get through the day. Love today. Today was fantastic. I only had one flight. I was selling insurance. I should have. Oh, man. People need it out there. Could die. Nah, not that fucking difficult. It's not that difficult at all. Anyways, I don't know how long I've been doing this. Only Naz has probably been like an hour already. Maybe. Maybe not. I got to sneeze. Perhaps. Perhaps not. The game was great till this change should happen. What game was great? Watch. Assassin's Creed? You know, I haven't played Assassin's Creed since, bro, I don't know what. I don't know what. I haven't played Origins, I haven't played Odyssey, and I haven't played Valhalla. I'm way behind. There's always sales on all these games. Well, Odyssey and Origins. But I never get on them. Because I always think, am I even going to play? And right now, the games I am playing is 2K22 and pretty much that, man. There's other shit. Most recent Ubisoft game I was Far Cry. I have Far Cry 4, 5, and 3, 4, and 5. Right? Because 6 is the newest one. Right? So I have Far Cry 3, 4, and 5. Never play Far Cry. Those three were like pretty much given. You know? They were like, here, get it for like $3 or some shit. It was some sale that was on PlayStation, I believe. Yeah, the PlayStation, I got them. I don't even touch my PlayStation. Actually, the last PlayStation I touched was the 4. I could play Spider-Man. Just because I watched Spider-Man No Way Home again last week. I don't touch my PS5 at all recently for a while. I don't know. It's just there. It's just collecting dust. I got Deathloop on it, and I don't play that. The Batman is on HBO Max, for those who don't know. B-Player just mentioned it. And, yeah, watch it. Watch it at home. You can take your sweet-ass time watching it, too. For those who complain about long-ass movies. I have no complaint about long-ass movies. Fucking Spider-Man No Way Home. 1 hour and 30 minutes. 1 hour and 30 minutes until shit gets real. Well, not even until shit gets real, because shit gets real before that. But 1 hour and 30 minutes until, like, nergasms begin. You know what I'm saying? And then it just feels like two movies at once. And I'm not complaining at all. I am not complaining at all. It's fantastic. I love it. I love it. The only long-ass movie you complain about was Zack Snyder's Justice League. I won't even complain about that. That was an event. Shut up, Manny. The movie didn't drag. That movie was a fucking event. Also, the movie was broken down to parts. So, technically, y'all can't complain. You could have watched it as an episodic fucking shit. That's it. That's why it was broken into parts. So you guys could watch it as an episodic shit. You could be like, oh, end of part one? All right, cool. I'm going to watch part two later. But then again, I guess it's on the person. If you feel it dragged, then it dragged. It wasn't for you. Too bad. For me, I watched it like 3 or 4 times. Once only, straight through. That was a big event that night. And then the other times, like, slowly in parts. There's times when I do feel like watching it again, but it'll have to be in parts because I can't. But yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. I'd rather spend 4 hours watching that than what was the longest movie to ever? The longest movie in the world or in history. Let's do it in history. Because I think it's Birth of the Nation, but I could be wrong. I don't want images. The longest film ever. Excuse me. Holy shit. No way. The longest film ever made was the 85-hour The Cure for Insomnia? 1987? Directed by John Henry Timmis IV and premiered entirely at the School of Art Institute of Chicago? What? Nah. Can this movie be seen? Is it like in the what the fuck's that shit? The library, this just means, okay, so if this is an 85-hour movie that was shown at the School of Art Institute of Chicago, this gotta just mean that it was just something that just played. And it was just there, like when you went through a museum or some shit. See? See, Nostradamus, y'all got the best movies. Okay, yeah, we take the cake. We're in the Guinness Book of Records for the longest film made. Get the fuck out of here, dog. But you can't even see it. What if I put it? I doubt it. But what if I put it on YouTube? It says,
or therapy, nor this method.
Just come into possession of a cure for insomnia. It comes in capsule form. Here is this a handy
a snippet of it?
No. It can only be found through a full viewing of one film. 87 hours. 3.5 days of runtime.
3.5 days.
And one bearded man narrating your way through The Cure for Insomnia.
How do you put this shit together?
1987. The film was released and shown at the School of the Art Institute in Chicago over the course of 4 days. Directed by John Henry Timmis IV, the film consisted of heavy metal music with some not safe for work content mixed in.
Oh, yeah? This
while artist
Nudity?
Lee Groban read the 4,080-page poem, The Cure for Insomnia, written by himself for 87 hours.
That's some hippie shit. This movie just seemed like it's some hippie shit.
It held the world record for the longest feature film, much longer than Hitchcock's Cure for sure. Of Lee Groban represented really a true tragedy.
So this movie doesn't exist anywhere. So you had to be there. You had to be there to see this 87-hour movie. That at that point, that's where I go, like, okay, this is a fucking long ass movie. Like, I thought Seven Samurai was a fucking long ass movie, and it is, but 87 hours. The player said, "I waiting for the Robert Rodriguez movie that's gonna be released in 100 years." Roberto Rodriguez, what are we talking about? Which one are we talking about? Alita, because Alita 2 should happen. Alita 2 should fucking happen already. God damn it. It's your fucking... Alright, guys. I think this is where I should stop the Only Naz podcast and get on to what I really want to do. I had the fucking WWE 2K22 just here running in the background the whole time. So, how about we get into that? I'm challenging myself. I'm trying to get the Trash Man to lose his title. So in order to do that, I made it a little bit harder. So let's see if that's made. Roberto Rodriguez made a movie that's going to be released in 2115. Ooh, Jesus Christ. What? Okay. Is this... What? Robert Rodriguez or Roberto Rodriguez? Let's see a Robert Rodriguez 2115. Okay. 100 years is an upcoming experimental science fiction film written by John Malkovich and directed by Robert Rodriguez, advertised in 2015 with a tagline, "The movie you will never see." It is due to be released on November 18, 2115. 100-year span matches the time it takes for a bottle of Louis 13 cognac to properly age before it's released to consumers. The film stars an international ensemble with American actor John Malkovich, Taiwanese actress Chuyao Shang, and Chilean actor Marco Zorro. 100 years is apparently a short film, Rodriguez stated in a 2019 interview. "I was making several short films for them. I finished that one first. We shot that one first. I thought that was going to be a commercial or something. And then I showed them the movie and they said, yeah, that's great. That's great. That's the one we lock away." And I said, "What? That's the one you lock away? What about the other one with the future?" "No, that's the commercial." What? Malkovich and Rodriguez announced in November that they had teamed with Cognac. Something. Pending release, the film is being kept in high-tech safe behind bulletproof glass that will open automatically on November 18, 2115. 1,000 guests from around the world, including Malkovich and Rodriguez, have received a pair of invitation tickets made of metal for the premiere, which they can hand down to their descendants. The safe in which 100 years is kept was showcased at the 2016 Cannes Film Festival in various other cities. What the fuck? A song, 100 Years, composed by Pharrell Williams in collaboration with Louis XIII, Cognac, or whatever, will be released in November 2017. What the fuck? What? I'm mad. I have rather not known about this. Because now it's something that I know that I would never see. And I'm super intrigued to know what the fuck this is. Let's face it, we're not even going to be around in 2115. It should have been like a fucking 20 years or something. I'm getting up from my grave to watch it. I'm going to tell my kids to tell their kids to watch it. What the fuck, man? This.
What?
I can't. Now I have to pull off the biggest heist. Someone got to pull off a heist, steal this movie, and leak it to the world. Not fair. Fuck those people in 2115. I want to see this short thing that's so fucking special that's going to be held for 100 years. I want to see it now. 2115. Sorry, that was just... Wait. It's a fucking... There's a... This is the commercial one.
In 2015, I, John Malkovich, shot a film which will be held for 100 years.
Are you serious? Here, because I can't put it right here if I'm going to put this on YouTube. 13. What the fuck, John Malkovich?
Imagine the future. You miss me that much?
Is this trying to tell me that his descendants would look just like him?
2015. Thrilling.
Hey. What are you doing here?
What are you doing here? The movie you would never see, man. Fuck you guys. Fuck you guys, man. God damn it. God damn it. And in other news, the Extreme over here telling me that Across the Spider-Verse has been postponed. Let's see about that. Bump to 2023. Damn, that's going to piss off my girl's brother. And I never seen The Equalizer. Should I just watch The Equalizer? Because there's a third one coming, and I never even seen one or two. I heard they're good. I never seen it. And Queen Latifah has a show. Queen Latifah. I still can't get over that The Equalizer is Queen Latifah. Oh, shit. Who was in that table? Who was in that fucking meeting? It's like, all right, we're going to make a TV show, Equalizer. And you know what? Let's have it be a woman because we want to, you know, we want to reach that market and show that women are powerful. And who should we have to play this part?
Queen Latifah.
Who said that? You get a raise. Queen Latifah will be perfect. Yes, Ben Dog. There's a show, The Equalizer, and it's Queen Latifah, and I guess she's kicking ass. I don't know. I don't see it. I just find it funny. It's Queen Latifah, The Equalizer. I find it funny. But yeah, Across the Universe has been bumped to 2023. Why? I don't know. The movie's already a part one, so hey, better 2023 than 2115, I always say. whatever. You know, again, like I said, it's way better than waiting for 2125. Right, folks?